I enjoyed that special tonight. It's very good to be with you tonight. Calvary, has God been good to you this week? Oh, he don't let us down, does he? He was gracious to me and let me come down I-40 with no problem at all. He is good. He's very good. I'll start with a little introduction to myself, my family, where we have been, and what brings us here. First of all, I want to say I'm very thankful for your pastor for giving me a chance to come. Just give me an opportunity to speak. I very much appreciate it, Brother Isaac. I very, very much do. Very thankful for that. I know preachers like to preach. Do y'all believe that? And so when they give missionaries a time to preach, it's a little sacrifice on their part, but I'm very grateful, very, very grateful. Our first slide, or probably our second slide, will show you a picture of my family. And I'll begin there. My wife is Angela, and she wasn't feeling very well herself tonight. Our oldest is Addison in the middle, our daughter. She's 7, and Parker on my lap is 6, but he turned 6 in June, but he always wants me to tell everybody he's almost 7. Y'all are with me. It matters. That half a year matters when you're 6. And Jackson, other one who doesn't, he's got an upset stomach tonight. He's 1.5 years. But I come on behalf of my wife and family, and she says hi. My sending church, Lone Oak Missionary Baptist Church in Morrilton, Arkansas, they say hi. And on behalf of God, God says hello. God says hello. So good to be here tonight. 7 years ago, I was in youth ministry at Olive Branch Missionary Baptist Church, just beginning. I was there for just under 7 years, working with parents and students and whatever else my pastor, Roger Stewart, didn't want to do. I got to do that. Loved it, though. Loved it. Still love that church dearly. Very, very thankful. Every year we would take our teenagers out on a mission trip, and my wife and I would leave after we spent a week with those missionaries and their wives, and just there was something that just drew us to the mission field. We would leave. It was the hardest thing to do, is to pull that bus out and leave those missionaries. And through that whole time of 7 years, my wife and I would try to decide if we were just in love with a thought of mission work, or if God was calling us to mission work. And you friends know that those two things are very different. Those are very different things. And when a family's involved, and when a church is involved, and more importantly, when God's will is involved, those things take a matter of prayer. So it began for us, this process of prayer, in January of 2014. Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? Are you needing us to move on? So we wanted to pray, and we began praying for opportunity. We know that God's will is for us to bring that gospel to the whole world, but it has to be his will of where he wants to send us. So that took a matter of months. So for months, we prayed the boldest prayer that we could pray, friends, and this was it. God, where in the United States do you want us to go? That was the boldest prayer we could pray. There's 50 states. We know it. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of land. There's even states that doesn't have works that believe as we do and worship as we do. Lord, can we be part of something in a state that doesn't have a work that believes like Calvary Missionary Baptist Church? Is there a place? Is there a spot for us? And that prayer began to turn inside of us, and that curiosity that we had kept us praying. Lord, where do you want us to go? Is there anything you want us to do? But there was no opportunity for us in the States. So we began praying even harder. Lord, where can we go? Is there something out there for us? So over a matter of several months, many, many months, we began praying. Lord, where do you want us to go? I picked up one of the big books, those National Association books. You may have seen them floating around here. But it has in them listed all of the Associated American Baptist Association works, churches, mission works, and all of that included from all the states. And I was flipping through there one day, and I flipped too far, and I landed on the foreign page. And guess what the first country listed was? It was Australia. I know. Australia. And I looked and I read there was one church listed under Australia, and the name of it was Hinterland Baptist Church. And I thought, wow, country is so huge. It's roughly the same size as the United States. And I only knew of one church that associated with American Baptist Association. So I began to ask and ask questions about, are there more? Is there anything that we might could do to help? And so that curiosity started to stir inside of us. Lord, where could this be it? Is there somewhere you want us to be? We found out that there are other works, but friends, you can count them on your two hands that are associated with the American Baptist Association. There's a lot of independent works around there that we would believe are straight down the line like we are, and that's okay too. But we wanted to be a part of the ABA. And so we began to pray for opportunity to go. And through the process of time, the Lord let our paths cross with the pastor of Hinchinland Baptist Church, Chris Miller, and his wife, Christine. And we met them in Grand Rapids, Michigan at a meeting of all places, right? And so we began to talk and hear of the need of more churches over there in Australia, the need of more Bible-believing churches. That is a big need. Based on sound doctrine that you and I hold very dear, they want that there. The truth, just the truth. Not a place that will tell you just what you want to hear and pat you on the back and let you go to hell. A church that will preach truth. May hurt your feelings, but can save your eternal soul. And that's what we wanted to be a part of. And the more we prayed about that, that curiosity the Lord stirred inside of us became a burden for those people. We began praying for people we didn't even know. We began praying for a place that we never even set foot on before. But the more we prayed, the more the Lord opened opportunities for us. And then it got to the place to where it felt like the longer we stayed in Arkansas, the more we'd be disobeying God. And friends, once you get to that place, you have to go. It's okay. You have to go. God has a plan, and he has made it very clear, and he's confirmed it, and it's time to go. So that's what brings me here. We surrendered to the mission field, knowing that God had something specific for us. And I have a summary of what we believe God is asking us to do. He has called us to bring the gospel to the lost, just like you do. And also, more specifically, we're called to establish churches in Australia. Train pastors to continue the works after we're gone. I can only be so Australian. But an Australian man can take a church in that culture and go places with it I can't. So that's a big part of our ministry when we get there. Praying that God will call men to preach and to carry on the work. So can I ask you tonight, a group of believers that believes in prayer, can y'all pray tonight that the Lord in his sovereign will begin drawing men, calling men to preach the gospel even tonight, before we even get there? I know he's able, but please pray for us, please, because this is a very important part of the process. I mentioned our sending church already, so we'll skip on to the next slide. Hinchinland Baptist Church is a sister church, believes as we do, worships as we do, founded in the 70s by missionary John White out of the ABA. We're very grateful for them. Pastor Chris Miller has taken over there now and has graciously invited my family and I to come and be a part of them. We're going to get to learn a lot of culture. When I got there, I quickly learned that their biscuits and gravy was not mine. That ours was very different than theirs. And also, when they drive on the left side of the road, they do that on purpose, and I do that on accident. Whenever they say aluminium, I say aluminum. It's a very different culture. Even though they speak English, sort of, it's very different. So there's going to be a learning curve. So we'll be with Hinchinland Baptist Church for about a year. The whole process will be a mentorship. We want to, at the same time, to be building relationships 30 minutes north, where we'll begin building the church, gathering people for worship, and spreading the gospel 30 minutes north. But this church is going to be a great blessing. I hope I'm making sense. They're going to cut years off of our ministry there because of all the things that they can teach us, and we don't have to learn on our own. The whole goal is that we won't be so culturally offensive that we never gather anybody for the Lord. So this church is going to be a great help. We're very, very thankful for them and what they're going to do for us. So this is a big part. We'll be there about a year, but at the same time, building relationships 30 minutes north of Hinchinland Baptist Church. our next slide will show you just a brief map of kind of where we'll be. We'll be on the East Coast. Gold Coast is an hour south of Brisbane. Brisbane's the capital of Queensland, there in Australia. In the city limits of Brisbane, you'll have around 2.5 million people. An hour south in Gold Coast is 600,000 people. So it's very comparable, Gold Coast is, to Orlando, that kind of atmosphere over there. So within an hour's drive, all the suburbs included, right at 3 million people in this one little spot. And we have one church there that believes as we do, worships as we do, and God has called us to go help that church and also to establish other churches around there beginning in Gold Coast. Our next slide will show you a picture of the coastline there in Gold Coast. We will not live there. We're going to live 20 minutes off the screen, off to the right, way out there. But this is, I just put this up here just to show you we won't be in the outback. But it's a very beautiful place to be. This is basically the scenery all up and down the coast. But it's very pretty, very nice place. Our next slide, please. When we were there on a survey trip for 12 days, we got to look around and survey where would be the best place God would want us to be. We wanted to spend our time wisely and also our money, our resources wisely. And we wanted a neutral place also. Because of the cultural differences, it would be better if we all met at a neutral place. A place that they already knew about, the place they've driven by many times and have seen it. And this is what the community center will provide for us. The Upper Coomera Community Center is a hub of the community there. They have the library for the kids and for the community, and that's a big draw there. There's a big playground facility in the back where parents come, just let the kids play. It's a very nice place to be. Upper Coomera is 30 minutes north of Hinterland Baptist Church and also has around 21,000 people. We walked in, and we were very excited, and we walked to the right, and at the top right of the screen is the Aquatic Center. They have a little splash pad and everything there, and then they have the big pool toward the back. But when we were there, lots of families were there with their kids, and they were just letting the kids splash around and play. And that's all exciting, isn't it? It is to me to see that it's a family draw. But someone said, look at that, how big that pool is. But the missionary says, no, look how big that baptistry is, right, friends? That's a big baptistry that I don't have to fill up. I don't have to heat it up. I don't have to worry if it's flowing over or not. I can just put them under, bring them back up, and we can go on. So we were excited about that. We told our tour guide that we needed a place that we might could meet weekly. If we could rent it weekly, that would be great. And she brought us to this place at the bottom right. This is called the Youth Room at the center, and it has all of the audio and visual hookups that we would need to conduct church. We could use whatever we would need with that. It holds around 40 people, 40 chairs comfortably, but you could probably squeeze more in there. But we were excited about this, and we asked her, well, what can we do with that? And she said, well, for a religious organization, we'll give you a 40% discount. And I said, I'm listening. And she said, we'll give you that room for $20.60 Australian dollars a week. And that's incredible, really, because it's less American money. The exchange rate's really good right now. Less American money. So for 2 hours rental time, we can meet every week for right around 41 Australian dollars, which is awesome. That saves the Lord a lot of money, thousands of dollars, until we get to phase two when we need to outgrow that place. Hopefully we outgrow it fast, right? We hope we can. We ask every time we show that picture of the room that whenever you look at those chairs, we ask that you see souls in those chairs. There will be a day when that room is filled with chairs, filled with people. And that's exciting to us. We know that God is faithful to do it because what he has started, we know that he will finish. We know that across the hall in the next room, there will be one day the voices of little children singing the praises of God for the first time, filling that hallway, filling, spilling over into this room, and that is exciting. But that's the joy of the vision that Lord gives us. We can't have it right now, but we do know that through faithfulness and obedience, one day it will be a reality. So this is the work that we will be called to do, or we will be going to do, have been called to do. So we're working toward that on deputation. And our next slide will show you some needs that we might have. Lots of travel, so lots of prayers for safe travel, please. Our visa process has gone very, it's in the beginning stages, but we needed $8,000 to apply. That's to get my whole family over there on a permanent status. So we needed that, and so we asked if the Lord would please put that on church's hearts to give. And what God did is through June and July, he sent our way $8,000 from Vacation Bible Schools. Y'all believe that? God did that, and we are so excited for that. Now all we have to do is apply and pay the money. That's all we got to do. And we're praying that that visa process goes fast. They say it takes a year, but we're just praying that our applications don't sit on somebody's desk for 3 months. Y'all know how that goes, right? Pray that that goes real smooth. Our monthly support, we're right around 50%. We're asking churches to consider helping us monthly so we can get over there on a permanent status. And the people of Gold Coast, please pray for them. Vehicle funds and moving expenses, all of that comes a little later. We plan to be on the field in August of 2016. So we have about 9 months left, closing in on 9 months left. So we have a lot to do and a little bit of time, but God has been very good. God has been very good. Another big praise is that we have two big debts that we've got to get rid of, and that's our house and our car. And 2 weeks ago, a man called and said that he wants to buy our car. Can you believe that? So we're going to let him. We're going to take that money to the bank. We're very excited about that. That eliminates one thing. But God has been very faithful and consistent through the whole process of getting us to where we need to be. So we're very thankful for that. I'm very excited. We will also be able to teach religious education when we get there. In the public schools, ministers can go in and teach the Bible from the time they start this program until they get to high school. That they have 2 years. They'll go through the Bible twice. That's really good. You can't do that in America even, but we'll be able to do that. When we were there, Miss Christine taught 4 classes, all averaging right around 25 students. Pastor Chris taught 2 while we were there, averaging the same. But he began with faith when he taught. It was right before Easter, and told them their Bible story for the day, how it dealt with faith and what Jesus means to us. And at the very end of the lesson, he invited every one of those children to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins because of what he did on the cross and how he rose from the grave. And I was sitting in the classroom when he said this. I was thinking, you could never do that here in America, but God is sending me a place where we can. So my wife and I are so excited to be a part of the religious education, teaching kids. Kids, as you well know, may never set foot in the church building, but they can be saved at school. And so God has given us a great opportunity, but we need help getting there. But these are the needs that we have, the work ahead of us. We ask that you pray. Pray for those 2 things, that God will call men to preach, and also that God will keep us safe along the way. And we very much appreciate it, very greatly. Tonight, as we move from the mission field of Australia to the seashore of Galilee, I ask that you turn to John chapter 21. As you're turning, I'll remind you of some lyrics that we sing very often, even in the books right in front of you. And they say, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. We sing these songs of blessed hope, don't we? For a reason. It's because we have a God that is always faithful to us. We have a God that leads us along our life, not for our own destruction, but also for our good and for his glory. What we find is that the end of what God has for us, no matter what we walk through in life, is his glory. That's the destination, isn't it? The destination for the Christian really shouldn't, in our minds, be heaven, but it should be the presence of God fully with us all the time. Wherever he leads me, I can go. Because I trust him. Wherever he leads me, I can follow because I trust him. But friend, what if one day we're asked to walk through something we really don't want to? What if we're asked to go somewhere we really don't want to? Peter got this news one day This is the third time that the Lord showed himself to the disciples after he was crucified, buried, and he rose again on the seashores. In John chapter 21 and verse 18, Jesus looked into Peter's eyes and he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, those two haunting words for every disciple, follow me. Follow me. Jesus told Peter that there was a time when he was younger that he could wake up in his own independence. He could dress himself wherever his heart wanted to lead him. He could walk wherever his feet wanted to go. There was a day when he could do that. But he said, Peter, there's going to be a day coming when you're older, that you're going to stretch out your hands. Someone else is going to clothe you, and someone else is going to put you where you don't want to be. Now, how could Peter not hear these words and not remember that it wasn't too long ago that Jesus Christ himself stretched out his own hands, didn't he? It wasn't too much further back that Jesus Christ himself was wrapped in grave clothes and put in a tomb himself. What he's saying is that, Peter, listen, this mission that I'm giving you is going to take everything out of you. Remember, 3.5 years before this, Jesus told Peter, he said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Jesus changed his profession. Jesus changed his direction in his life. Jesus changed it. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. One day, Peter, they're going to stretch out your hands. But I want you to remember that they also did mine. One day, Peter, they're going to wrap you in grave clothes, but I want you to remember that one day they did me too. And one day they're going to lay you in a tomb, Peter, but one day they did me too. What he's saying is this, Peter, I'm not asking you to do anything that I wasn't willing to do myself. I'm not asking you, Peter, to go anywhere I haven't gone myself. Isn't that the blessed hope that a Christian has? Knowing that no matter where he leads me, it's going to be okay. Because my Lord has been there. My Jesus has walked those steps. And he says, I can follow him. And I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Verse 19 says, this was a sign for Peter. This was a marker on Peter's highway of life. You can underline that if you like to mark in your Bible. This signifying by what death he would glorify God. What he said was this, Peter, there's so many things that's going to happen in your life. You have this mission ahead of you to revive the world, to give the hopeless hope, to bring love to those who feel unloved, those that feel like I've just been abandoned by God. Give them that gospel that Jesus can save them. What Jesus did on the cross mattered and it changes things. These words still matter today. This Bible is true. But Peter, you have to tell him this. What he's saying is, Peter, this is a marker in your life on your highway of life that says, this way to the glory of Peter, or this way to the glory of God. And friends, even you and I have these choices even today, don't we? This way to the glory of Josh, or this way to the glory of God. We get to pick. But the destination of our steps as a believer should always be the glory of God. Doesn't that make our decisions very simple, very fast? Lord, I know this decision makes me look really good. That must be the wrong decision. Are y'all with me? Lord, let me decide to do what makes you look good. Let me follow those steps. He said even his death would glorify God. I know that's what you and I want, isn't it? That no matter what happens in our life, that even in our death, we can glorify God. No matter where he leads me, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that my life bring him glory, beginning, middle, and end. He said, follow me. He said, Peter, this mission I gave you should be about people, be about fishing for men, be about souls that need saving and forgiveness. He said, this mission is going to take every breath out of your lungs, Peter. It's going to take every beat out of your heart, Peter. But I want you to know that you can do it. You can do it. You follow me. You're going to sacrifice, but so did I. Follow me. All of this, I'm sure, is rolling around in Peter's mind, trying to wrap himself around what Jesus just told him. You can easily see that the Lord gave him a snapshot, a Polaroid picture, a glimpse of the way his life would end, stretched out on a cross, just like our Lord. All of this, Peter trying to decide, are the steps worth it? Are my steps worth it? Verse 20 tells us, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And the very next thought on Peter's mind was this. Lord, I know you've given me an incredible mission. You've given me an incredible responsibility of bringing this gospel to this world. You've laid that on my shoulders. But I want to know about John. Lord, I really want to know what's going to happen with John. Lord, I want to know if John is doing what he is supposed to do. Now, that sounds a lot like Christians, doesn't it? Lord, I know what you've done for me. I know what you've given me. I know you gave all for me. I know you've done so much for me. And you changed my heart. You changed my profession. I'm not who I was. I'm a new creature. And I love it. But I really want to know if that deacon is doing what he's supposed to do. I really want to know if that Sunday school teacher is doing what she's supposed to do. I really want to know if that pastor is doing what he is supposed to do as a Christian. I really want to know. Friends, my argument tonight is this, that the Lord has given us so much to do on our own. He's given us a great responsibility. Our steps are very personal to him. Y'all agree with me? He paid for them with his life. Our very steps are very important to him. What shall this man do? Then Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What Jesus said in Oklahomian is this, Peter, mind your own business. Have you ever wanted to say that to anybody? Mind your own business. Peter, if I leave John here for thousands of years until I come back, what does that do for you? Peter, if I leave John here to live on earth until I come back, what does that change in your mission? What does that do? It changes nothing for you, Peter. You follow me. Peter, you come on and follow me. You put everything behind you. I know you've sacrificed much, but you keep following me. I've got steps for you to walk. And you're worrying about what John is going to do, what John's steps are going to be. Remember, this same John in question was the same one who was exiled to Patmos, the same one who was exiled on that island, separated from loved ones, separated from people that he cared about so greatly, separated from a life that he had and comforts. He was separated. Why? For preaching that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the very same message that Peter preached. But the Lord sent them in different directions. Now, can you imagine with me that conversation that those two had in heaven when they met up again? Can you? Maybe they looked at each other and said, you know what? You know what? Maybe all of that stuff on the seashore, Peter, maybe that wasn't even about you. And maybe it wasn't even about John, but all of it was about Jesus. How about that? There may be conversations that you and I will have in heaven that'll go along those lines. You remember that we argued about and we discussed? Guess what? Jesus was more important than which way he was directing. We felt led. Jesus was more important. Then this saying went abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not to him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Peter was distracted. God gave him a mission, but Peter was distracted. You say, how do we know? This is how we know. The whole night before this, he was on the sea fishing for fish. The whole night before this, he was searching for those objects swimming in the bottom of the sea. In 2006, the University of North Carolina did a study on distracted drivers, and this is what they came up with. At the time of the accident, the drivers were distracted by people, objects, and events. You say, that's mind-blowing. But yes, but look. Our spiritual lives can be wrecked by fixation on people and objects and events to the point we don't finish our mission. We're just wandering aimlessly in life, waiting for heaven. But I remind you that the Lord saved us for more than just heaven. The Lord saved us so we could bring people with us. That's our mission. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Give them that life-giving message like you have received yourself, but our spiritual lives and our mission will be wrecked with a fixation on people, objects, and events. He spent the whole night fishing for fish. And you say, well, he had to eat. Well, maybe. You say, well, that was his profession. He had to make money. Well, listen, this is the same Peter that also watched the Lord raise up 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, bless it and break it, and fed over 5,000 people. Wasn't he? He's the same God that sent a prophet down to a brook in the middle of a drought and fed him with bread from ravens. It's not about the food. God will provide. You agree with me? God will provide. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. Follow me. Follow me. But Peter was distracted by fish. And then we find that he really wanted to know about John. What is John supposed to do? Where's his steps supposed to go? Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? And listen, he was distracted by people, right? Objects and people. And finally, there was an event in Peter's life that changed him. Because he looked into the Lord's eyes one night and he said, though all men betray thee, yet I will not. And the Bible says that very night he denied him 3 times. And he was forced to face that reality like you and I do. That there are days when we're distracted that we just don't love the Lord like we say we love the Lord. And that hurts. And it derails our Christian life and our mission to keep the gospel before us. But friends, also, there's people today that say, I will not walk through those doors as long as there's someone like that in that church. And they rob themselves of the blessings of God. There's people that say, I won't let a note of praise come from my lips as long as that other person is teaching that class. And I want you to know they're robbing themselves of the blessings of God. Even tonight. Even tonight. There's people that are too busy babysitting those shiny things in their driveway that they won't come and worship God. And I want you to know they're robbing themselves of the blessings of God. There's too many adults fixated on these shiny screens that they neglect their relationship with God and they rob themselves of the blessings of God. There's too many kids chasing balls around a field that they don't want to come to the house of worship and they rob themselves of the blessings of God. And finally, the hardest ones, other than people and objects, are events. There's people that say, I won't sit in that pew one more service until God tells me why I lost my loved one. I won't let a note of praise come from my lips until God tells me why I have cancer. And I won't put a penny in that plate until God tells me why I lost my job. And friends, they rob themselves of the blessings of God. Because God has never asked us to understand. He has only asked us to trust Him. That's it. But friends, you and I will never finish our mission to bring the gospel to the world, bring the gospel to Muldrow, Oklahoma, if we're fixated on people and objects and events. Jesus came to set us free from all those, didn't He? Jesus came so we don't have to worry about those things. Our identity is in Him, not in our own power, not in who we were. Isn't that a blessed thought? That our identity even today is based in who Jesus is and not who I used to be. So I can keep walking no matter what people say. I can keep going no matter what objects come my way. And I can keep praising God no matter what trials and troubles come in my life. Because my Jesus is greater than all of them. And He's worth it. My Jesus is worth it. John brings it down to a very fine point, beginning in verse 24. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John is saying all of this is the truth. All of this is spoken by the Holy Spirit in truth. What this means is it's really not all about Peter. All of this episode is really not even about John, but it's all about Jesus. All of this is about what Jesus needs us to do to move past these things that are obstructing this gospel from coming out of our lives and spreading all around us. What are those things that we need to move past? To be fixated on Jesus and not the things of this earth. Because when we're fixated on Jesus, Peter could remember this. That even though Jesus' hands were stretched out and they put nails in His hands and feet, remember, Jesus said, that's what will happen, Peter. If you keep walking toward God and you keep following Me, that's what will happen. There was a day when Jesus' hands were stretched out and He was crucified. Peter, there's coming a day when you will be wrapped in grave clothes and you will be put into a tomb. Peter, there will be a day when those things happen. But Peter, as you and I are just following somebody more than a man, somebody more than just flesh and blood, Jesus Christ is the very one, even though He was crucified, yes, even though He was wrapped in grave clothes, yes, even though He was put into a tomb, yes, but friends, we're following the very one who walked out of the tomb. We're following the same God, and that power that raised Him from the dead lives in you and I. Even tonight, where He leads me, I can follow because I trust Him. The truth tonight is this: no matter what happens along our life, whether it's in the mountains or in the valleys, whether it's in the joy of life or in the chill of death, we do know this, that it does not end at the grave. That's just the beginning. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? No matter what Jesus leads me through it, remember, I can trust Him. Because He has not asked me tonight to go where He hasn't already gone. And that's why I can follow Him. If you've ever wondered why He says, follow Me, that's why. Because He's already been there. He's already done it. And He's waiting with His hand behind Him for you to grab hold and follow. It's a precious thing to put our footprints in the very footprints of our Savior and follow Him to heaven. It's a precious thing. But remember, even if it brings us to the tomb, it's not the end, because He walked out of the other side. This testimony is true, John said. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, even if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written. And John said, amen. He said also in John 20 and verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What John said is this: it really isn't all about Peter and all of this stuff that's happening to Peter and how his life will glorify God and even his death. All of this is not really even about John and all of the speculation that was going on about John. All of this is about the message. All of this is about bringing that message to the world, saying that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God, and that believing you can have life through his name tonight. Tonight. Not tomorrow, not just a few years down the road, but tonight. It's available even here tonight. That's the message and that's the mission that Calvary Baptist Church has. But this church won't complete it fixated on people, objects, and events. Jesus saved us for much more, didn't he? This is the message that will be preached in Australia, that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and that believing whoever calls on his name will have eternal life. Amen. And is available even tonight. Even tonight. I want you to have an honest conversation with the Lord tonight as we prepare for just a short invitation. An honest conversation. Let me